Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. All right, welcome back everyone. I am recording super early in the morning because that's what my schedule allowed. So if I don't sound 100% awake, it's probably because I'm not, so bear with me, but I literally woke up thinking about this current topic, and I actually had a completely different episode planned, and the things that I'm going to discuss today are dominating my thoughts and have been coming up a lot, and I just feel the need to share it with all of you. And we're going to go over several things, but I wanted to start with what's going on in the peptide world regarding censorship, because I am really starting to experience a lot of this, and so are a lot of other people in this space. Hunter Williams is someone that I listen to, that a lot of you listen to, that I've learned a lot from. I think he's a super smart guy. I don't agree with 100% of everything that he says any more than I'm sure if he listened to me, that he would agree with everything that I say. And that's okay. It's good to have different opinions about things and learn from each other, even within those different opinions. But his YouTube channel just got taken down again. And I, for one, understand what it takes to build what we are trying to build. It takes so much time and energy and effort. And it's a labor of love. I love sharing episodes with you. I love sharing content with you. And so it is disheartening when things like that happen. And I think even Jake Campbell, I think maybe his Instagram got taken down, or maybe he decided to take it down. I don't really know what's going on there. I couldn't find him on Instagram the other day because I'm always curious about what other people are posting. And the reason being is I'm not a believer in focusing so much on what everyone else is doing, but I'm trying to see how other people are sharing and not getting censored. And I couldn't find him. And Jake Campbell's another guy. He's works with Hunter Williams and is very well known in the peptide world. He's a little more polarizing because of his personality, and like him or not, and again, I don't agree with everything that he says, but like him or not, he's got a lot of knowledge. And so he's someone else that I've listened to over the years, along with a lot of different people. But I woke up this morning and my TikTok is about to get banned. So if you follow me on TikTok, I don't even know if it's going to be there by the end of the day. I'm going to have to shift how I'm posting. So if you see maybe some more watered down versions of TikTok and Instagram for that matter, because my Instagram is being shadow banned and has been for the last month, so it's not really getting out there anyway. That's the reason why. And here's the deal with all that. I can spend a lot of time getting upset over it, as far as how it impacts my day in, day out. But what I will tell you is that if you really think about peptides and their essence, they're these little small chains of amino acids, and they do these beautiful, wonderful, amazing things for our bodies. And so why are they so controversial? Why are people getting censored and talking about this? And I think it's because it threatens the current system. If you really think about it, why are people so concerned about someone like me talking about this stuff? It just doesn't make logical sense. My husband put it one way not too long ago, that he could get on academy.com and buy Tanneride, which is an explosive, and nobody would think twice about it. But I am getting censored on a place like TikTok for merely talking about something like peptides. And it is just mind-blowing. So you have to think that this is so disruptive to the bigger system of big pharma and the FDA that they feel the need to spread their reach out and their power out to different powers that be in order to keep these things censored. And so it is mind-blowing. And because when I woke up and I saw a bunch of my TikTok posts had been taken down and that I was getting a ban warning for like the 15th time, I don't know. I just felt compelled to talk about it a little bit and really just share kind of the experience of what I think is going on in the peptide movement right now. On that note, a couple of things. If you are a listener, if all my stuff gets shut down, please go to the Peptique website on the footer at the bottom of the homepage. You can put your email in there. I don't send spam emails. I only send emails that are launching new product lines for the Peptique or special discounts for the Peptique. That's the only time you're going to get an email from me. So most of the time people want that information. But put your email in there. I don't have a lot of people signed up for that yet, but that is one way that if I get shut down and everything, I have your email. I can reach out to you and I can tell you what's going on. So I encourage you to do that. On a second note, the good segue into the school platform that I've created. And this is exclusively for women because I feel like there's a lot of resources for men when it comes to this stuff, but this is exclusively for women to talk about specific things around peptides and aging and longevity. And for now, it's a safe place for all of us ladies to go to talk about those things and share our experiences. And I was listening to another lady in this space the other day on her podcast, and she was talking just about, particularly since the GLPs have become so popular, and a lot of people are getting healthy and changing their lifestyle patterns, which you should be doing if you're taking a GLP. You absolutely should be changing your nutrition, how you work out, focusing on sleep and recovery and things like that in order to really utilize the peptide in the correct way. But she was just talking about in this movement that other women get judgy of other women. If they're cheating, or of course she's on the skinny shot, or whatever it is you want to call it, and like it being this shameful thing. And I just think that is so wrong. And one of the things I love about the school platform, and before I forget, it's on the school platform, SKOOL, but the name of my group is the Women's Peptide Collective. So you can search for it there, but I'll also put the link in it to the show notes. But one of the things I love about this group is that we are each other's biggest cheerleaders, and we applaud and we rally behind you when you have great success with the particular peptide or whatever your goal is. And we rally around you if you're struggling or something's not working. And we try to give advice about our own experiences so we can work together, collaborate together to all help each other and learn. So if you're interested in, that's another way that I can stay in touch with you. That group is growing super fast. And the more people that join it, the better information we're going to have, right? So I really encourage you to go do that. Let's see, what else on my brain dump topic do I have today? I think that might be it. Outside from the things that I just talked about, Like I said, I had a completely different episode planned, and I've had a couple of things come up with several of my listeners and followers the last couple of weeks that have been a consistent theme. And I was hesitant at first to talk about this particular topic, but in this movement of being censored, I think we have to be super smart in how we use these things, because as this space grows, if people are not responsible in how they use them, then we are going to start seeing a lot more restrictions and stuff, more than what's already placed on us in this space. And so I think there are some really important things to consider when you're purchasing your peptides from any company, whether it's from the Peptique or any other company. And so I want to talk about what to look for in the way of testing and what this testing means when you're purchasing research peptides, okay? Let's break this down. First and foremost, the gold standard that any place that you look on, any website that you might be on looking at these things, should have a COA. That is a certificate of analysis, okay? And I'm going to break down what you should find on a certificate of analysis and how you reference that. Then I'm going to talk about endotoxin testing, which is less used, but really important. And so Let's start with the COAs. Again, a COA is a certificate of analysis. Typically, a certificate analysis, it should show three different things. It should show on there the purity, the potency, and the identity of the peptide. So how do they test for that? The gold standard is HPLC testing, which is high performance liquid chromatography. And this HPLC is the primary analytical method used to separate and quantify the components in a sample. So think of it as a chemical fingerprinting tool. And how you will see this on a COA is you'll see these big peaks, okay? And you really want to look for a single sharp peak, and then there'll probably be some little ones surrounding it. But when you see this very sharp peak on the COA, this indicates a clean synthesized peptide. If you see a ton of sharp peaks up and down, this indicates incomplete synthesis. So it means that it has impurities or degradation of byproducts in it. So this is how purity in very simple form is determined with the peptides, okay? And the standard, at least for the peptique, is 99% or better. I will say in our testing of the peptique, it's very uncommon that I've had anything come back less than that. And if it does, it's 98.9, or it's very close to the 99 or better. But regardless, it has to meet that standard in order to make it into the peptique's inventory. So that's the first thing you want to look at. That's the starting point. A lot of people end there, but that is the starting point of looking at these things when you're purchasing a product. Then you want to look at UV detection, and this is quantifying the peptide. So after it's gone through the purity test, a UV detector scans the sample for its absorbance at specific wavelengths. And this confirms that the peptide isn't just pure, but what its quantity is. So if the UV signal corresponds to 10 milligrams of peptide and matches the reference standard, then this validates the purity and the quantities. Hey, I'm not only getting a pure peptide, but if I order 10 milligrams, I'm getting 10 milligrams. And let me say this about that particular part of the test. There are variances in these things. So it's rarely ever spot on 10 milligrams. You might have 9.5 milligrams or 10.5 milligrams. So it's not unusual to have some variances in that. So I wouldn't freak out if you ordered a 10 milligram vial and it says 9.2 or 9.5, or it says 11.5, okay? It's not super uncommon to have variances in those things, and you will see that reflected on most COAs. If there's a huge variance, more than 1 milligram, I will send another vial back to the lab and have it retested for weight. And then if it comes in under again, then it doesn't make it into our inventory. And that happens more often than the purity. The purity, we rarely ever have any issues with that. So just know that's something else that you definitely want to look for. I will tell you how this has come up in our testing is I sent off some GLP-2 and it was supposed to be 10 milligrams and it came back at 30 milligrams. Yikes. So you can imagine, because that is one of the peptides that has some of the more side effects if not taken properly. And you can imagine if someone had bought 10 milligrams but actually got 30 and was reconstituting it and dosing it as 10 milligrams, the side effects that could have incurred from that. This is one big example of how important it is to have these things tested. So then I knew right away to send a couple of more samples and confirmed that was the case. I got back with my lab and they actually confirmed too, yes, we sent you the wrong thing. And this is why this is so important, y'all, okay? And then the last part of the COA testing is the mass spectrometry. And this confirms that the peptide's amino acid sequence is correct. It can even detect the tiniest deviation fragments or truncations that an HPLC might miss, the main test might miss. So it eliminates the risk of a substitution and that you're not getting exactly what you think you are. I think there was some story going around Reddit a year or so ago about someone getting GHKCU and it actually ended up being like sugar or something random like that. And so this is going to confirm that not only are you getting, say, ipamorelin, but that ivermorelin is not missing anything at all from its sequence. It even the smallest deviation is detected, which would make it not ivermorelin. So you know that you are 100% getting what you think you are getting. Again, this has come up one time in our testing where I sent a BPC 157 sample off and it actually came back as TB500. And whereas that mistake is not as drastic as the GLP-2 because the side effects would not be nearly as severe, if you wanted BPC 157, you don't want TB500. Some people just want the BPC 157, even though we pair those two together a lot. So again, another example of why this testing is so important. Okay, before we move on to the endotoxin testing, I want to explain what you want to look for on a particular COA, because I had heard of people falsifying these things, and you want to make sure that you're getting an authentic COA. And here are some things to look for. Make sure that it has the lab information on there. I have seen on websites where it just has the logo or the name of the actual research peptide company and not the actual lab. That would be a huge red flag to me that you're not actually looking at an authentic COA. The COA should also be able to be looked up on the lab's website. So we use Freedom Labs. I chose them because they're a little bit of a smaller lab than, say, like MZ Bio Labs. And I love their customer service. I love my ability to be able to reach out to them and get a very fast response. My experience with MZ Bio Labs, never being able to talk to the same person. And when we're talking about something this important, I didn't like that. So I chose Freedom Labs after going through several different labs that I just didn't care for how they handled things. But you can get on Freedom Labs' website. You can look at the COA. And it will have a reference number at what that particular COA number is. And you can go to their website and see it listed on there. So even if it says Freedom Labs or MZ Bio Labs or whatever the lab is, you should be able to get on that lab's individual website and look up that COA. And it should be there in their system to confirm that, yes, this is not a fake COA. This test was actually done. The other thing that you want to be able to look for is a batch number referenced on the COA. So some companies use a lot number. Here at the Peptique, we use a batch number. And you want to be able to reference that particular batch number back to the batch number on the COA. Another thing that I think is pretty common is that a lot of these companies only test minimal amounts of their product. Every single batch that comes through the Peptique is tested, which is why you'll see multiple COAs listed on our website, not just one from 6 months ago or a year ago. Some companies stock bigger than we do at the Peptique, at least for now. And so you may see a COA that's about 6 months old, but if you start getting into a COA that is a year old, and particularly if you can't match that batch number on the vial, if you're getting product that doesn't have a batch or a lot number on it, and if you can't reference that number back to the COA listed on the website, that is another red flag. That means that they're probably not testing the batches and they're not tracking each batch where it's coming from and what the test results were. So that is something that I think is really important that a lot of people just look online, see a COA, buy and say, oh, I'm good. So just because there's one COA on there doesn't mean that your particular batch that you're purchasing from was actually tested. So that's also super, super important. Let's see, what else do you want to look for on the COA? I think those are the main things. These are all things, y'all, that when I started in this space, I didn't even know that a COA existed. So another reason why I'm bringing this information out there, it's just important to know these things and make really informed decisions around them. All right. Let's go into endotoxin testing. And this is one that I think is really important. And most of these research companies do not do them. And I'm going to be really transparent here because I realize when I talk about these things, it opens the Peptique up to scrutiny, which I want you to do because I want to be above bar on all these things. And please understand, these are things that I'm injecting into myself. My children have used them from time to time for certain things that have been going on with them, my adult children. My husband uses them. My best friends use them. a perfect example, my very best friend in the whole world just got finished with breast cancer treatment. And her doctor, kudos to her, really emphasized that she should be taking thymosin alpha 1, which if you don't know about it, I'm going to be doing an episode on it pretty soon. But it's an immune peptide, and it's really been shown to help with breast cancer after people go through treatment to build their immune system up to fight off cancer cells. She just got finished with breast cancer treatment, and her immune system is shot. And the last thing I would want to do is put her on thymosin alpha 1 and it have impurities or endotoxins in it that could actually make her sick and make her feel bad. So this is why these tests are so important. But I did not test every single batch for endotoxins when I first started. I would do random samples, knowing that the products all came from the same source. And so in theory, you could say if it's all coming from the same source, then their lab practices are clean. But I have since changed my mind about that. And I have every single batch now tested for endotoxins, just so that, again, I'm holding the peptide to the highest standard possible. But what I found is that most of the research peptide companies either do what I did in the past and only have random samples tested, or they don't do it at all. And the light was shed on this to me the last couple of weeks when I had several different people, I had two different women reach out to me who have bought peptides from two different places, not from the peptide. And both had taken these particular peptides before and not had a bad reaction, but this time they both had bad reactions to the different peptides. They both had severe, like, immune responses, severe, like, flu-like symptoms. And beyond just the normal, like, tiredness that retinoid can cause from time to time, sometimes I'll have some people say they felt a little bit achy and tired, but this was really extreme for both these ladies, and they felt absolutely terrible. And look, I'm not saying that these particular peptides had endotoxins in them that these ladies took. I have had people have these reactions on peptides that did have endotoxin testing done on them and came back clean, but you're at a much higher risk to have these types of symptoms and experiences when you're taking the risk of taking peptides do not have the endotoxin testing done on them. So it's just another way to ensure that you are getting the safest, cleanest product out there that you are going to inject in your body so you can actually avoid this. So I started asking them, did they have a COA? And they didn't know. And I said, do they have endotoxin? And both of these did have COAs, but neither one of them had endotoxin testing done. And one of the ladies reached out to the company that she purchased it from and said, hey, do you have an endotoxin test on this? And their response back to her is, we're a research peptide company. We don't do endotoxin testing. So I think that is more of the norm. I don't see those as much on these websites. So let's dive into what endotoxin testing is so you understand why it's so important. Because even a perfectly synthesized peptide that passes all the COA standards that we just talked about can be contaminated with endotoxins. And these are toxic fragments of bacterial cell walls, often referred to as lipopolysaccharides. And they are microscopic, invisible, and can't be detected by sight or smell. And like I mentioned, they can trigger severe immune inflammatory reactions if injected. So this endotoxin test ensures sterility and that labs are measuring the UE per milliliter. This is the endotoxin units per milliliter. And there are certain thresholds that are considered acceptable. So if you have less than 0.25 UEs per milliliter, this is actually considered a very clean research grade material. All of ours, all of the peptides are 0.05 toxins per milliliter, which this just is means it's on the exceptional range, exceptional quality, and it meets or exceeds that highest pharma level grade of a product. So again, I'm going to stress that I'm looking for samples that are 0.05 or less because I really want to provide, selfishly, the safest thing for myself and my friends and family, but also the safest thing for you guys as well. And ultimately, when you're getting that level of sterility, purity, it just proves that the synthesis and the lipolysis occurred under proper conditions that the handling and the packaging were contamination-free and that the sample meets sterility thresholds used for injectable pharmaceutical materials. And there's, if you look online, if you put this in ChatGPT, it's going to give you all these different levels of purity that it has to be. But just know that at the 0.05 that we have on all of ours is the top tier, okay? And also know that you can't just look at the UE per milliliter number. You have to consider the total concentration. So if a 10 milligram peptide vial is reconstituted with 1 milliliter of bacteriostatic water and the endotoxin level is less than 0.05 UE per milliliters, like we have at the Peptique, and you have approximately 140-pound person, that just means the total per vial exposure is even 1,000 times lower than that. So if you are on another website and that it is higher than what we have at the Peptique, it doesn't mean that it's not safe. You have to look at those calculations to see what you are personally going to be injecting. I just want to keep it the products as clean as possible. And our sources have proven time and time again that what you're getting is the highest tier quality possible. So just to recap, with the COAs, you want to look for the purity, the potency, the identity. You want to confirm that the batch number correlates with the vial number that you've purchased. With the endotoxin testing, oh, and you want to be able to get on that lab's website and confirm that it is a valid COA. With the endotoxin testing, you want to look at the UEs per milliliter because it'll say pass on there. But you want to look at that number and make sure that it's at least below, I would say 0.25. A lot of places say 0.5, and then ours is 0.05. And then you want to make sure that you're doing that calculation per the milligrams to make sure that if you are on the higher end of that spectrum and you're still okay purchasing it, you know exactly how much of that endotoxin you would be getting into your body. So I just thought that this was an important topic to bring up. I think it's important as we're in this space and as we're getting more and more censored and ridiculed for it, and the powers that be are looking at it more strictly, that we're responsible in how we handle these things. We can help limit or eliminate bad experiences, that then that's what people are talking about. And those are the things that get focused on rather than all the amazing things that these peptides can do. And I think that's really it on this particular topic. A couple of things that I wanted to share with you regarding new products and things like that, which is super exciting. I am going to be adding an amino line pretty soon to the Peptique. I'm just waiting on it. Again, I'm waiting on these test results to come back before I can actually release them into the inventory. Preliminary test came back really great, and we're doing another round before we release them to all of you. And I'm really focusing on things that I think that us ladies really worry about as we get older. So we're going to have a fat burning one. And I say ladies, men, you are not left out of this conversation. My husband gave me a hard time the other day because he had seen something, I think on Instagram, about GHKCU. And he was like, what's this glow stack thing? And why haven't you told me about it? I want my skin to look great. I know I talk about the ladies a lot, but I also understand men, as you get older, you want to feel as good as we do. And so I'm not trying to leave you out of the conversation. I'm just trying to create a very safe space for the ladies to go to talk about these things. But there will be one blend that is pre-mixed that is for hair, skin, and nails. There's going to be another one for sleep that I'm currently using myself right now. If you have listened to me at all, sleep is one of those things that I have struggled with off and on. I am loving the sleep one. I cannot wait to share it with all of you. And then there's going to be another one that's a fat blaster. So it's like a Lipo-C on steroid. No, there are not steroids in it, but it's just loaded with things like L-carnitine and NADH and some other great things. So there will be some episodes coming out about all of those. And then we'll have some basics like B12 and L-carnitine all on its own, because in my school group, those are things that the ladies asked for, that they wanted. And we'll see how that line expands. I think it's going to be great. I think all of you are going to love it. I know that I'm currently loving it. But that is probably, hopefully within the next 4 weeks, going to be released. If you will do what I asked and sign up for that email on the website, you automatically get put into the email loop for all of those things and when they actually do get released, and there'll be sales on all of them. So good stuff there. Also, if you are wanting to do a peptide consultation with me, I'm getting really booked. Do not go to the West Wellness website and sign up for that. I am totally redoing that website right now. I'm probably going to take it offline for a little while until it's done. I am creating a platform for peptide on the West Wellness website that's going to have information about peptides, protocols, all the things that you want to know, like how many vials you would need to purchase if you were going to start a protocol, different stacks and how to take certain peptides together. It's going to be just a wealth of information on peptides on that website that I'm getting super excited about. Right now, it has all of my older information on there when I was doing the full functional nutrition type of consultations, which I'm no longer doing due to time constraints. So if you want to schedule a peptide consultation, I'm going to put my email in the show notes. Please go there and send me an email to schedule that. Don't go through the scheduler online, which I know is confusing, and I apologize up front on that. I'm hoping within the next 6 weeks, this new version of the West Wellness website will be launched, and it'll be super straightforward and transparent. What else? I think that's it. I am so appreciative of this audience. You guys have embraced me and my topics and this peptide movement, and I just love it. I love what I do. I know I say that all the time. I feel so, so blessed to be in this space and get to share all this information with you. So we're going to keep moving forward. We're not going to focus on the censorship. We're going to focus on the movement and getting the information out so everyone can have knowledge and access to this stuff. I don't feel like anyone should tell me what I can and cannot put into my body. That's a personal thing. And I think the more that we can talk about how safe and how amazing that these peptides are, the more people are going to benefit from all the amazing things that they do. So on that note, I'm going to leave you there. Go share, like this podcast with anyone that you think might love it. And until next time, y'all, have a blessed day.